Good morning. I'll invite you to grab your Bibles. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, today we are going to be talking about temptation and how to face it with a biblical perspective. One of the most difficult things about temptation, for sure, is that it really does, when we fail, demoralize us. And it makes us feel helpless. And you can be left wondering, do I really love God? Do I really want to follow Him? And of course you do, but it can be very discouraging. Many years ago, a few hundred years ago actually, in England, not only there, but in England, there were terrible conditions for women and children who were in prison. And often, not only were they poorly mistreated, but they were sent onto ships and shipped off to places like Australia. Now, where they suffered even further. That left people feeling truly demoralized, truly hopeless, and they had no idea what they would do about it. I mean, they were truly at the mercy of the system. That was until Elizabeth Fry stepped in. Elizabeth Fry was a Quaker from England who was deeply pained by the injustice that she saw in Victorian England, and she became a champion for those truly feeling hopeless. Her tireless efforts led to reform, and eventually many people were rescued from this terrible prison system. There was prison reform and the abolition of sending women and children off on these ships bound for Australia. Not only did she do that, as if she hadn't spent enough of her life doing something, she also became an abolitionist for slavery. She was greatly improved the lives of these women and children. You might feel today that you are in a prison, so to speak, because of temptation. You might feel a little bit hopeless because you've given in to temptation. But today, I want to encourage you that even if you feel that way, there is hope. And it doesn't come from you. But the hope is from God's word, because there is precious hope this morning for those suffering under the weight of temptation. And I want to just ask God to help us know and understand what that means. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would lead us in your word now. I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters. We are all afflicted by temptation. And Father, it can feel very defeating. And I do pray that this message this morning would help us to know that there is hope, even for the defeated. And I pray you help us have understanding of your great word and the precious truths, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says this: "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Now, if we're honest, sometimes we don't feel that way. But we must acknowledge that there is something that God does call us to do here, and that's to do battle with temptation. We are called to do battle with it, to overcome. And of course, right off the bat, the scripture doesn't say it's all on you. It says that God makes a way of escape from temptation. So the call is there. And before we simply take the passage and run with it, some context important. Now, Let's just look at the verses preceding that. It says, first one, for I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and in all the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as an example for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. So this context is important. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Now our verse, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, the first several verses of this passage are talking about the fact that many people in Israel were in the wilderness disobeying God, right? They were idolaters. They were revelers. They were committing potentially sexual immorality. They were grumblers. And Paul says, by the way, these are examples to you of what not to do. Don't do these things. But by the way, you should understand, there is a temptation, right? I'm sure no one here has ever grumbled about the government. Ouch, right? But yeah, we give in to temptations. We're not supposed to live the way they did. They put Christ to the test. But these are written for us. And it says, take heed lest you fall, because spiritual pride, it's a tricky thing, isn't it? It can get you. Oh, I couldn't fall to temptation. I couldn't be deceived into this or that. No, no, I'm really strong. No, take heed lest you fall. So it's our duty to learn from them and to escape temptation as God provides a way of escape. What we must acknowledge is that it is our sacred duty to do battle with temptation. You cannot battle something if you deny it exists in the first place. And I think Christians would do really well to let each other off the hook, acting like if you aren't ever tempted, you're a healthy Christian. You know what? I would love to see a community where we just said, look, I'm tempted, can you pray for me? That's actually biblical. Instead of, oh, I never get tempted by anything. We hide that from everyone as if we're the only one, and the reality is it doesn't matter who you look at in this room, we're all tempted. We all endure temptation. It's a part of the Christian life and experience. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell you that being tempted in and of itself is the sin, because Jesus was tempted, right? But giving in, that's sinful. And does that not make the imperative all the more there to find a way of escape that God is going to provide for us? Another thing that we should understand is that the vulnerability is real. There is definitely, and it's sad because it's just not real, this artificial idea that spiritual people don't struggle. Mm-mm. they do. Because we have a sin nature. Now, they have victory, but the struggle's not gone. And when we act as if we don't need to be in God's word, we don't need to be in prayer, we don't need to have others holding us up, that's actually prideful. And look, I know we think, oh, I'm so shy, I couldn't share my struggles with somebody else. That can be prideful, though. Because what if you need the help? By the way, you do. We all do. Doesn't mean you have to tell everyone. But, you know, we need to not be so prideful about it. It's easy to be, because we think we're the only ones. And another thing is it says, look, they're all common. You might think, I'm the only one that ever struggles with this. And somebody else does too. So we have to be careful. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we certainly need to be humble when we approach this particular subject. The bottom line is, the Christian life will include temptation. And that is why Jesus, think about this. What did Jesus do when he was asked, how should we pray? This is why we shouldn't try to deny its existence. When Jesus was asked how to pray in Matthew 6:13, he says, lead us what? Not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This prayer is not suggesting that God could lead us into some kind of temptation, but rather there's a desire for God to keep us away from it. We all have this need for God to keep us from evil. Secondly, I want to talk very briefly about the nature of temptation. So the aspect that we're considering here, this nature of temptation, it comes really from two sources. The first being that we have sinful desires, and it's our sin nature. In other words, temptation comes from you because we want sinful things. That started in the Garden of Eden. Mankind gave in to temptation by disobeying God, and Romans 5:12 tells us, sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so spread to all men because all sinned. So we have to understand that there's an inherent nature without Jesus Christ that desires to give in to sinful passions. And so we're going to battle against this. That means you cannot say it was only my environment. I couldn't help it because of the external situations happening in my life that I had to give in to temptation. No, because it comes from the heart. James chapter 1 tells us this. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one with evil. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then, listen to this, desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So there's some important things. God didn't cause you to sin. God doesn't tempt people with evil. God will allow you to face temptation, but he doesn't entice you to commit sin. Temptation is because our hearts are lured away by our own sinful desires. How much more important is it for us to stay close to God because of that fact? Think about what our culture says. Follow your heart. Oh boy. Don't ever give someone that advice. Follow God's word. And I'd say it this way, follow God's heart. That's a much more biblical and better thing to say. Don't trust your heart. It can lead you into some very deceptive things. The other source of temptation is something that many people would laugh at, but it's real, and that's Satan. Satan is a master of temptation. Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, Ananias and Sapphira. Peter says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? Satan hates God. Satan hates God's children. And he certainly, as a master of deception and temptation, wants you and I to wreck our relationship with God and not be very spiritually fruitful. Look, he was in the Garden of Eden tempting Eve and Adam. But we don't want to be, now I'm going to date myself here, but there was a comedian named Flip Wilson. Maybe 45% of you know what I'm going with this. And some of you are going to go, Wikipedia, Flip Wilson. He had a famous catchphrase, the devil made me do it. It's partly true. Look, it is your own desires, but Satan works in concert with your own desires. Eve took the fruit and Adam took the fruit because they wanted to. But Satan certainly worked alongside that desire. So the devil will cleverly mix your own desires with temptations. And, you know, I think the warning too as well in Scripture is because of those sources, we should also be careful that we do not get drawn in by others into their sins. That is quite common. I mean, think about it this way. What happens on the news when you see looting and rioting? Why do so many people who ordinarily probably wouldn't do something like that do that? Because they watch others doing it and they figure, well, since they're all doing it, I'm going to too. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him with a spirit of gentleness. So first of all, coming back to what we said, we do need to be gentle. Look, if somebody is struggling and you throw the hammer over them, boy, they're never going to come back. Well, they were coming to you for help. You needed to be gentle and maybe sympathetic because we're all struggling with it. But don't get so sympathetic that you put yourself in a position where you are tempted by it, right? Because then it says you should be gentle, but keep a watch on yourself lest you be tempted. We have to be very careful. We are not immune. The one thing I'll say is this, is temptation is no joke. And we're called to do battle with it. So I wanted to run over those two things quickly because I think most of us have heard some of these things before in some form. But now I want to come to my final point. And you know pastors when they say my final point 4 hours later? I might be guilty of that here. Our precious hope when suffering from temptation. I wanted to address those other two things briefly and spend more of my time on this because if you're a Christian and you have experienced temptation and sometimes you've given in and some of you right now are racked with grief and shame. I know where you're sitting right now. You're sitting here like, Lord, why is he saying this stuff? But it's because I really genuinely want us to be free from the bondage that comes with sin and shame and find the hope that is in Christ. You don't have to say, I'm inevitably doomed to endlessly suffer in giving in to temptation, sin, and defeat. The Scriptures do call us to overcome temptation, but not in a flippant and heartless way. There is an acknowledgement. First of all, if Jesus is saying, look, when you pray about this, know that God understands that temptation is real for us. So there's hope. Brothers and sisters, if you are struggling and fighting, there is hope. Listen to what Hebrews 2:18 says. Talking about Jesus. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. That's our God. Now consider that the very Son of God came to earth. He didn't have to, and underwent the temptation that Adam failed to overcome. Here is Adam and Eve being tried by Satan, and they fail. But Jesus is brought into the desert and tempted by Satan. And why did he willingly subject himself to it? So that we can be freed from our sins and have victory over temptation. All who repent and believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, if you turn from your sin and believe that Jesus died and rose again, if you know him, this promise is yours that Christ is actually there to help you. This is hope. Because we know the weakness of our own flesh, don't we? You see, the reality is, we don't have the means to overcome temptation in our own. It is entirely through Christ. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 4 for a minute. Let's soak this passage in, Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1 says, when Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Understatement of the year. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said to him, all these things I give to you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And then the devil left him. And behold, the angels were ministering to him. Do you think that there is anything less available for you through Christ our Savior who has overcome? His ministering angels will bear you up under the most difficult of times. Christ himself is your advocate. He's there. You have the Holy Spirit. What we see here is that Jesus was truly tempted by Satan, but never did he give in. When he faced temptation, what did he do here? He responded with Scripture, and we have God's word right here. This is a mighty weapon of which the enemy cannot defend against. So we understand that because Jesus faced temptations, Hebrews chapter 4 tells us this in verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin.
Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in a time of need.
Now, Jesus couldn't sin. He's God.
But does that mean he didn't understand our plight? Of course, he understood our plight. In fact, he came and took on human flesh.
He came from the throne of heaven to be subjected. And he represented the human race,
knowing the full scope of these things. And in the weakness of this flesh, Jesus, the God-man, overcame the enemy.
The second Adam, the last Adam, our head, our representative, beat the devil. You don't have to secure that victory, because Christ already has. Isn't that a glorious truth?
I'm not sure you guys are awake. This is good stuff.
What happens? We can draw near to the throne of grace.
Now, that very same God-man who overcame ascended back into the heavens to sit at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, sovereign over all things. And he is our high priest, our advocate.
Imagine, he came down from heaven to know our weaknesses. He could understand them without even going through this. But because he's God, he knows all things. But he went and he suffered temptation. And then he went back up to heaven, mightily resurrected from the grave, went up into the heavens, sat at the right hand of the Father and says, "Now every one of my children, I sympathize with your weaknesses, I advocate for you, and I sit on the throne of heaven." We are not in a position of spiritual defeat in Christ.
God cares about us. He cares about our struggles. And you don't need to hide the shame of your temptation from God. He calls you to bring it to him.
He doesn't say, hide in the darkness. He says, come to the throne of mercy and grace.
Think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, doing exactly what Adam couldn't do in the garden. He fell on his face and prayed and said, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." He did the will of the Father. And God has removed the burden of overcoming temptation from us by telling us that he will help us, that he will make a way of escape, that he knows and sympathizes that with our weakness.
Don't try to make temptation a matter of just, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, because you won't.
You need to desperately spend time abiding in Christ.
You need to commune with him in his word and in prayer.
John 15:6, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit."
And then it says this, "Apart from me, you can do nothing."
Having Christ as our high priest and our advocate brings hope in the midst of temptation.
So what do we learn? We learn, one, that we should watch and pray.
Matthew 26, same passage, Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus says to the disciples, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
We should not discount the power of prayer when it comes to temptation.
We need to be watchful and prayerful. I would say watchful also includes
Don't putting yourself in a position that you know is going to put you in peril.
Cry out to God. He hears you. And another fact Jesus overcame, as we said, quoting Scripture, which means do not underestimate the power of God's word in helping you overcome temptation. I will tell you, many times in my life when I have struggled with something, a verse comes back to my mind to rescue me. They're precious. I love the way the psalmist says it in Psalm 119, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Don't underestimate that. I can tell you that from just the word, what the word tells us, if you were to spend time memorizing the word, you are building a defense against temptation. Another thing I do highly recommend, there's this book, I love it, Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices by Thomas Brooks, a Puritan. Great book, great title. I stole some of his ideas and I put them in here. I'd love to pretend I was this smart, but he says some things that I think are just wonderful. One thing he says is don't forget that when you're dealing with temptation, that sin's presence is not the same as sin's damning effects. Sin can no longer condemn the child of God to hell. That's an important part of understanding. We will still struggle with sin, but we have been released from the bondage. The second thing he says is don't ever forget that Jesus, when he died on the cross, his shed blood fully paid for your sins. And sometimes when we struggle with temptation, one of the things that we struggle with is, am I a Christian? Assurance is not faith. Assurance is the effect of faith. In other words, we need to trust God at his word, and we will have tough days. But assurance comes from a life that is lived for Christ. I think a lot of times when we struggle with, am I a Christian, it's because nothing in our life looks like that. If it doesn't match, it's going to be a struggle. He also says to remember that God is with us all the way. Never forget that in the Scriptures, the saints struggled. David, anybody? One thing that I added in as well, and I think is so critical, is that saints bear one another's burdens. Look, the beautiful thing about being saved is we recognize we were sinners, now saved by grace, made into children of God by God's wonderful salvation. But it doesn't mean that we don't battle still with sin and temptation. And if we bear one another up, what a beautiful thing that is. Get my little commentary in here. Did you guys know there was an election recently in the U.S.? You may have heard about this. It's the only thing on the news for the last several days. When the one candidate lost, of course, the knives come out, right? And everybody in their wisdom, oh, this is why they lost. Stab, stab, stab. And they'll turn on each other. And look, if it was the other way around, it would have been the same thing. It doesn't matter. But as Christians, imagine the difference when one of us loses that the others come around them. And instead of stabbing in the back, we hold them up in prayer and cry with them and just pray for them. What a beautiful thing that is. And never forget that even when you do fall into temptation, that the humble, repentant sinner can still find forgiveness and cleansing. 1 John 2:1, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. God has called us to fight against temptation, and we must learn. We must learn that we can't win on our own. In fact, the victory is secured by Christ, who overcame and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. So do not despair when you enter into temptation. Don't think that something's wrong with you. Christ suffered temptation. It is our privilege to endure temptation to the glory of God, brothers and sisters. But you're not abandoned and you're not hopeless. Be in prayer, be in the Word, turn to Jesus. Look to Christ to overcome temptation. And let me just say this in closing. Sometimes, you know, it's the answers are obvious, right? If you're struggling with pornography and you got a cell phone and you're always using that to look at pornography, why you got the cell phone? You struggle with alcohol, why you get alcohol in your house? Like, sometimes there's some obvious things. But the issue is not just getting rid of things. That's being watchful. The issue is the heart and the mind prepared to do battle. Not just clearing away the landmines, but being ready for the battle. I remember Kim telling me a story about when she was, you know, almost finished high school. She and one of her friends, they went on a backpacking trip in Killarney. And so they went, and they're in the middle of the woods, and they did everything right. They were prepared. They put their food up in the tree. And nonetheless, the bears came. They tried to get in the tent first, and then they looked up and they saw a bear hanging from their food thing. It fell, gone. I don't know how they slept the night after that, but anyway. Next day they go and they're thinking, okay, there's bears around here. This isn't good. We better, you know, get out of here. And so they find this cabin, this remote cabin on an island, and they ask these people, they say, you know, we need some help. So they get some help, and they bring in some friends of theirs, and they end up going to another little small island. And the people say, oh, don't worry. There's never been bears on this little island. Next morning, there's a bear on this tiny little island, probably the one that was following them. And now they had nowhere to go. Temptation will relentlessly pursue you. But then they cried out. They had to literally yell. And a person came by in a boat and rescued them. And it's no different. Look, temptation will relentlessly pursue the Christian. And it will come after you once and twice and keep coming. And then you cry out to God for deliverance. And He will hear your prayers. And the Bible promises that He will make a way of escape. Hallelujah. Hang in there, brothers and sisters. It's tough. 1 Peter 5, 6 to 8 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties, including temptation, on Him, because He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Father, we thank You that Your word is clear, that we have an advocate, that we have one who struggled and faced temptation, yet without sin. We thank You that our high priest is our advocate, and He is truly there for us. I pray that we would be watchful and pray, that we would be in Your word, O God, hiding it in our hearts, that we might not sin against You. Oh, how I pray for my brothers and sisters who are feeling defeated this morning. May they afresh know the love and mercy and comfort and care that comes from you, O God. May you rescue them from their temptation. May we be supportive to one another, loving one another, caring for one another. And may we realize that all the victory, honor, and glory goes to our great Savior, Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.